Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back. I'm Rob Schofield. One of the most promising proposals introduced this session at the North Carolina General Assembly is House Bill 976. The legislation, which was proposed by Representative Marsha Morey and others, would follow the lead of several other states by creating a North Carolina Extreme Risk Protective Order law. As with the existing system for domestic violence restraining orders, the proposal would allow a family member or a law enforcement officer to petition a judge or magistrate to remove firearms from a person who exhibits threatening, erratic, or dangerous behavior in limited circumstances. News and Views producer Clayton Hinkle caught up with Representative Morey this week in her legislative building office to discuss gun safety and some other front burner issues.
Representative Marsha Morey, thank you for taking time on a busy week at the legislature to talk with us.
Oh, it's much better to talk to you than do some of the things we're doing on the House floor.
Well, last week the focus was on the budget, which of course we'll talk about a little bit later, but this week there's a lot of attention that's being paid to school safety and gun violence, and I want you to talk a little bit about legislation that passed the House on Monday evening. It was a unanimous vote, but not without controversy. There were a number of amendments that Democrats wanted to see proposed that would make our schools safer. They did not get a hearing. They did not gain traction.
That's right, Clayton. The school safety bill by itself, we had no problems with it. Some common sense approaches for schools to do checks of their doors, their physical locations, make sure everything's mapped out, to make sure SRO officers are properly trained, to do just some common sense things, but it didn't go far enough. We knew, at least the Democrat caucus, that we wanted to address why school safety came up in the first place, and that was because of the gun violence in Parkland and Santa Fe, and to address, you know, the kids that are vulnerable, and they're vulnerable because of guns. And so there were five amendments that had been prepared that we filed yesterday, which was Monday night. I reintroduced my extreme risk protective order, which says if someone is dangerous, threatening behavior in possession of a gun, you temporarily remove that gun through a court hearing, which many states have done. That would be an amendment into the school safety bill. It was ruled out of order. In a rare maneuver, we challenged the speaker's ruling on the floor. We had a vote, and once again, the majority party was able to defeat that. But we're trying to make a statement. We have to address gun violence. Judge Joe John, now a representative, introduced a very, very common sense bill that you can text 911 with any emergency. That was voted out of order. So the school safety bill touched around the surface but didn't go to the heart of what we need to address.
Why do you think that is? I mean, like you say, some of it is very common sense. We have also seen this year incidents like the shooting in Parkland, Florida, that galvanized a lot of people. We had marches. We had lawmakers who were wearing orange ribbons last week trying to recognize that this is an important issue that everybody is talking about this year and would like to see something done. And even common sense measures, unfortunately, have become partisan.
And this is not a partisan issue. It's what's going to help save lives. My bill with the extreme risk protective order would probably save more people from committing suicide than it would anything else. I mean, how can anyone doubt the intent of that? Unfortunately, there have been extreme reactions. I've gotten death threats because my proposal was blogged out nationwide on something called Ammo Land, and they said all this representative is trying to do is confiscate everyone's guns throughout the country. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, I'm a gun owner. I'm a responsible gun owner. I have nothing against people with their right to own guns in a responsible, careful manner. But if you see red flags and warning signs from people, if you're a parent and you allow your kids to have access to guns without safe storage, if we have these high-powered rifles, we're not taking care of our next generation. And as you said, this is being led by the youth that have been directly impacted by mass shootings and gun violence. And they're telling us we need good, sensible legislation.
I want to talk about one of the bills that did move forward or actually was introduced this week. This was the Ensure Safe Handguns Bill. It's House Bill 1060. I believe Representative Verla Insko is a primary sponsor on that as well. Talk to us a little bit about that. Again, it seems like common sense legislation.
That's right. And Representative Insko came to me and said, would you sign on this bill? And basically what it is, if a firearm is designated to be inoperable or dangerous or it's not responding to a trigger or a safety lock, that the manufacturer of that firearm cannot be selling guns within the state. Other states have a similar measure. This was not a controversial bill, so we thought, but it was just to make sure if there are firearms out there, make sure they operate properly. If they don't, they should be taken off the market. You know, it's like a defective car. If an airbag doesn't work, you know, do a recall.
I'll give you a chance to say it again because I've seen it on social media. A lot of people saying this is an attempt to ban handguns. It's just getting in there with just that incremental step.
The entire gun issue, it has become such a volatile. I mean, we need to get into rooms and talk with each other. I have people from grassroots North Carolina that I've never spoken with that just go on social websites and just say, you know, I'm a communist and, you know, I am against the Second Amendment. There's nothing further from the truth. I'm a judge. I honor our Constitution. As I said, I'm a responsible gun owner. So to take things to the extreme, to try to divide people and make them very angry and almost militant about it, is not serving anyone.
I'll ask you about grassroots North Carolina. They were at the legislature today with Representative Larry Pittman. He wants to introduce a bill that would allow volunteers and I believe some school teachers who have been trained to carry handguns. Leadership has said that's probably dead on arrival. It's not going to go anywhere, but talk about that as an idea. Is it a viable idea? Do you have concerns about it?
I'm not going to take their tactic. I mean, I will listen to anyone and listen to their reasoning behind it. But from what I know, the answer to gun violence is not more guns. I think research has shown if you put a gun in the arm of anyone, that in a emergency situation with trauma going on, the response to gun violence, it's not accuracy. For teachers that maybe have been trained to get a little bump in their salary to now carry a gun, and while they try to monitor and teach children and keep them safe, I think we're taking the wrong approach. We have SRO officers. Do we need more? That's something to debate, but I think arming teachers is the wrong way to go.
Let's talk about what else you think would make our schools safer. I know that the Republicans put in a lot of money for SRO officers, school resource officers, training. Some people are concerned that that, of course, may lead to perhaps more suspension and more targeting of certain students, minority students. What do you think of the idea of more SRO officers, and what do you think we actually do need to introduce that would help students feel safe in their schools statewide?
That's a good question. I'm not sure more SRO officers are the answer. I'm worried about the school-to-prison pipeline. About half of all our juvenile petitions that come to court come from SRO officers. So if you don't have an imminent threat or an emergency, is the SRO officer going to just start citing kids for minor infractions? That's a concern I have. What do we need? I think the school safety bill did have some good ideas, more peer-to-peer counseling. We do need more social workers and nurses in our schools. We're way out of proportion compared to what the national average should be. So we need to do more on the front end, but also I think we have to address the gun issues.
Representative John Torbert said, well, this is just a start. Obviously, there's a big disparity in the amount of money in this budget. I believe it's $35 million. You can correct me if I'm wrong. The governor wanted to put about $130 million into school safety. And the money that did go in for school nurses and counselors is non-recurring.
That's right. I mean, this was not well-funded. It was a drop in the bucket. The governor did want five times more in school safety than what's being proposed. I mean, there are some people who say we have to have safety locks on every classroom door. We have to lock all access doors to schools. Well, an individual school, that could cost anywhere to $50,000 to $75,000. Multiply that by thousands of schools across North Carolina. So all the proposals you have to adequately fund, and I once again will point out our gun violence is not just limited to schools. It's happened in churches, it's happened at concerts, at malls. It gets back to the issue of guns.
Well, I'm going to pivot a little bit and talk a little bit about judicial redistricting. That's something that is moving this week as well. We were going to see statewide changes. It looks like lawmakers are settling on just a handful of counties. I'll let you talk a little bit about that and any concerns you may have there.
If you look back a year ago, the Representative Justin Burr introduced House Bill 717, and that was to totally reform the entire state's judicial districts and how judges run and if districts should be subdivided. Well, come full circle, we are now back into the very area that he criticized in the beginning. We're doing a piecemeal approach. We voted on two bills this week to split up Wake and Mecklenburg County into sub-districts. We have eight rural counties that they want to combine and add a judge, subtract a judge, delete a DA. So we're going right back to the criticism Representative Burr had in the beginning. We're doing a piecemeal approach. I'm against it. I think this should be in the hands of a court commission, including judges, law professors, legal scholars, but not this last ditch. We're 2 weeks away from judges filing. And even today, they don't know what district or subdistrict they'll be in. I mean, it's not the way to keep continuity. It's not the way to keep fair courts. And all these court bills I have voted against.
Everything's moving very fast this week, but I do have to ask you about one more education bill. That's House Bill 514. This is the bill that doesn't really address your district or your constituents, but a lot of people think it could. This is the bill that would allow municipalities to operate their own charter schools. This is for Mint Hill and Matthews and that Mecklenburg County area for our listeners who may not be familiar with the legislation. But there are critics who say that this is going to really just exacerbate segregation. I'll let you talk a little bit about what you've heard and any concerns that you might have about that bill and whether it's expanded.
I think the proposals that have been out, including in the budget, that would allow cities to now use some of their city tax fund to schools and city schools. The concerns you stated are exactly what our concerns are, that it can resegregate schools, the schools in city areas, and if the cities are allowed to do city charters, it will take away any of the integration efforts we've seen for the last several decades, and it will give the haves and the have-nots, and it gets away from our system of public education for the good of all.
A final question. Lawmakers, we hear, may be wrapping up their session within the next 2 weeks. We've heard some rumors that certainly everybody hopes to be out of town by July 1st. What do you hope will pass in the remaining weeks? What's something that if you could, you know, sweep aside some of the partisanship and get everybody on board, what are one or two things that you would absolutely like to see pass?
I'd like right today for us to pass an adjournment amendment. I think we're going to see some constitutional amendments come up that will be put on the ballot for voters to decide the right to hunt and fish. Should we have a cap on our income tax, corporate tax? There may be some other constitutional amendments with Marcy's Law, some other things. But that'll be up to the voters. I think we should be very careful ever doing any amendments to our Constitution. What I am predicting is that probably when we adjourn, I would say the middle of June, towards the end of June, that it will not be an adjournment. It will be a continuing resolution, and depending on how the election goes, we may be right back here in case the supermajority's in jeopardy to see more bills coming through.
Thank you for taking time for us today, and we will talk to you again.
Always great to be with you. Thank you.
Up next, an advocate for reform tells us about efforts to end North Carolina's practice of jailing people merely because they are poor. Stay with us.